I think sometimes in life we get it wrong. Imagine that. But we know that the Bible tells us that as we live our lives, we need to live it different than this world. We need to think different than this world. But when we think about other people, and we think maybe about our children, or we think about our own lives, when we do that, we sometimes tend not to think like God would want us to think or see things the way God wants to see it. We tend to kind of still get back into this worldview. By that I mean, sometimes as we look to praise other people, we sometimes praise other people for the very same things that the world praises people for, and that's not how God wants us to do it. You know, what does this world think about? This world, as it thinks about life, this world, as it thinks about what they want in life, they basically say money, power, and fame. If I could have money or power or fame, then, you know, I've really become a success in this life. So what do we do as Christians? We talk of our children and we praise them for how much money maybe they have. We talk of our friends and we praise them because maybe they've climb the ladder in some area of life and they're really well known, or they're really powerful, or, you know, they got that fame about them. But God says that we should not work the way the world works. So Paul writes the second letter to the Thessalonians. And in these beginning verses, what he does is he kind of talks to them very personal. And he tells them that he has some things that he wants to praise them for. In fact, some things that he's going to boast about. And he's going to boast so much about them that he's going to kind of spread word to all the churches around about this very church we're looking at. So as we do that, I want us to notice two things this morning. The first one we're going to spend a little bit of time on, and then spend most of our time on the second. Number one, be willing to follow up in order to clear up. Be willing to follow up in order to clear up. Let's begin in verse 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here at the very beginning who the author is. It's the Apostle Paul. He's the one who is writing these words or having the words written for him. And then Silas and Timothy are kind of alongside there saying, yes, we agree with all this. Yes, we believe the same thing, and all of us are here sending you this greeting. It's kind of like maybe in your family. You know, sometimes your family sends a card to maybe someone who's sick or someone else, and not everybody in the family writes it. Usually one person in that family sends the card or puts the card all together, and when they get down, they may write your name on the card, or they may say to you, come over and write your name on the card. But it's usually one person doing that, but really it's coming from the entire family. So Paul's saying, look, this letter's coming from all of us who are involved in ministry that are now in Corinth, where he wrote the first letter. The writing of this letter is somewhere around 50 to 52 A.D., and it's written within a year of the first letter. And this point of being willing to follow up in order to clear up really doesn't come from what Paul says here, but it comes from why he says it. As I said, this letter was written within a year of the other letter, and we don't see that in so many of the other letters that Paul wrote, but we clearly see it here. And Paul wrote this letter to clear some things up. You know, he could have said, I already wrote you a letter, you got all the information you need, you know, just keep on keeping on. But he didn't. He found out some things about the Thessalonians, things that were going on, so he sends them another letter so he could clear up in their heads some biblical truth. And basically, there are three things that he does in this letter. First of all, he realized that the persecution of the Thessalonians was continuing and maybe even getting worse. So in chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, he writes to talk to them about that persecution and how to deal with it. Then he finds out that a phony letter was sent. Someone sent a letter to the Thessalonian church, but they said that Paul wrote it. And Paul finds out about this letter, and he writes them, and he says, look, I didn't write you any letter. The letter that you got that supposedly came from me, it's phony, it's fake. So in chapter 2 of this book, he writes in order to clear up that issue. And then in chapter 3, he writes concerning some of the members at the church there. They were plain lazy. They were unwilling to work. They were unwilling to do anything. They were lazy. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that we need to take care of those who are lazy. It tells us that we need to help those who are hurting and doing all that they can to try to meet their needs and are willing to work, as we want to help Jeff and Edie this morning. But nowhere does the Bible say, you know, go take care of the lazy. So in chapter 3 of this letter, he talks about those lazy people and probably what's going on here, and we see it in our day. They get this phony letter that tells them that the day of the Lord had already happened. So they hear that, and they hear that, well, if that's true, then Christ must be coming back really soon. So many of them probably quit their jobs, just sat around doing nothing, saying, well, you know what, we don't have to do anything, God's coming back. So they went up on a hill, so to say, and sat around, did nothing. Sometimes I hear this from Christians today. You know, Lord's going to return before I retire, so I don't even have to think about retirement. God's going to come back before I die, so I don't have to think about life insurance. God's going to come back before this economic crisis is over and this world crisis is over, so I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm just going to sit back and watch God provide. Well, I find it amazing that sometimes people think that they reach the age of retirement, somehow a tree grows in their backyard and it's going to be a money tree and give them all that they need. If you reach retirement and there's not enough money, sometimes you still got to work, part-time job or something. But God says, don't be lazy. So Paul takes a chapter talking about lazy people, and he has some pretty stern words to say to them to get them where they need to be. Then we go to the recipients in verse 1. It says, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's writing to this church, and there's probably several churches here in the area, the Thessalonians, and they are believers. So he offers these believers, he says, look, grace and peace to you from God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants them in everyday life to experience God's grace and God's peace. Well, we know what God's grace is, right? God's grace is giving you what you do not deserve. So if you look at the things in life that you have, and I'm not just talking about money, fame, and power, but if you look at all the blessings that you have in your life, God's grace is what gave that to you. You say, no, I worked really hard for it. I did things for it. Well, God's grace gave you the ability to do that. And there's an age-old acrostic that goes to God's grace, and it tells us how we got it. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. The only reason we see God working in our lives today is because Jesus Christ went to the cross. Now notice, not only does he want them to have God's grace, but he wants them to have God's peace. God's peace is inner tranquility. It's what he says in Philippians, is that peace that passes all understanding. Now, notice here that he's speaking to a group of people that are going through some very severe trials. They are being persecuted. And we saw in 1 Thessalonians that some of them probably have been murdered, killed, martyred. And in the midst of all this, he wants them to know, you know what, in Jesus Christ, even if you're going through the worst possible things, you can still have God's peace. You can still have a peace in your life as you go through all those things that people come to you and they see you and they just sit back in amazement. Not because you're a great person, but because God's peace is within your heart. So Paul, in introducing this letter, simply says, you know, grace and peace to you from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants them to have that very peace. And we know from reading 1 Thessalonians that they had it. Now, number 2 this morning. Identify those things that are worthy of praise. Identify those things that are worthy of praise. If we look at someone else's life, what things should we be praising them for? As our children grow, what things ought we to be praising them for? Notice verse 3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so. He says we ought to thank God for you, and it's the right thing to do. That word ought here means in debt. I'm sure some of us might know about this, maybe one or two. It's called indebtedness. You know, maybe you might have a bill, credit card, mortgage, car payment, house payment. Maybe you're on that budget or the budget for your utilities, and you know, you keep looking and all these bills keep coming due. You are in debt. You have indebtedness. Paul is here saying, look, I have a debt. I have a debt to God to thank God for what God has done in your lives. There are things going on in your lives that I need to stop and thank God for. God had been working in the lives of the Thessalonians. First of all, we saw in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, he saved them. But now he has been blessing their lives, and they've been growing, and they've been transforming into Christ. And as Paul watches that and sees what God's been doing, he realizes that it is God doing it, so he has to stop and thank God for it. Sometimes in life, we get all caught up with the blessing, and we forget the blesser. And we see someone's life changing, and we see them growing, and we look at them, and we say, man, they're really different. Have you stopped and thanked God for them? For what God is doing in their life. Paul says, look, I'm under an obligation. I have to thank God. Well, what was he thankful for? I want you to notice there are three things that he's thanking God for and that he is boasting about. Number one, notice in verse 3, because your faith is growing more and more. He thanks God for growing faith. Faith here refers to their confidence and trust in God. As he looks at their life, he sees their confidence and trust in God and his word. He sees it growing. And as he sees them trusting God for more things and their faith becoming greater, he says, I have to thank God for that. Why? Because it was growing more and more. Word meaning increasing greatly. The word meaning that they had it in abundance, that it was a wonderful growth. Their growth just kept increasing. You know, faith cannot be static. If faith is static, then you're probably not growing spiritually. If you look at your life and you look at your ability to trust God, your ability to trust the Word of God, it ought to be greater today than it was a year ago. You ought to have a greater ability to do things for God and trust God for things today than you did 2 years ago or than you did at the time you were saved. In other words, you ought to be able to look at your finances and without a shadow of a doubt be able to say, I am doing everything that I should be doing to try to meet my financial needs. I am spending wisely. And I'm working hard. And if I'm doing those two things, then I believe without a shadow of a doubt, God will meet my need. And if you could not say that in the past, you ought to be able to say it better today. And maybe today you still struggle with that issue, then by next year or following, you ought to come to a point where you can say, look, I have absolute trust in God that God's going to take care of my needs. And this relates to so many areas of our life. But if you look at your Christian life and you say, my faith is not growing, it's just kind of stuck, then you're not growing. And if you look at your Christian life and you say, well, you know what? Not only is my faith not growing, but really it's going backwards. Then I want you to know that's a great warning sign in your life. That you're not doing some of the things you ought to be doing. For example, spending time in God's Word, coming to church, serving God. Need to be growing in your faith. You know, when we can see people learning to trust in God in all areas of their life, certainly that's worthy of praise. It should be noted that their trust in God, their faith was increasing during very difficult times. Again, let me say, they're being persecuted, the persecution is getting worse, yet their faith is growing. And this is so often the case. If we keep our eyes on God, if we keep our eyes on God, then we can walk out of the boat and begin to walk to Jesus. Now, don't try that literally. I got my boat all ready to go, and I'm dying to get out on the water. But I don't plan on walking out of the boat. But there are so many other areas where we figuratively walk out of the boat, where we begin to trust God for things that we did not trust God for before, where we have a very real picture of God in our heart and through His Word, where we're willing to believe God for things that we never could have believed Him for before, where we come to a point in our life where we're able to say, I believe that when I pray, God can do immeasurably more than all I ask and all I imagine. Certainly, when we see that in people's lives, we know we have found something that is worthy of praise. Notice the second one. It's also found in verse 3. He said, because your faith is growing more and more, and notice the second one, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. So not only is their faith growing, but their love is increasing. The word love here is the agape love, that love of God, that sacrificial love, that giving love. He says, look, that for each other, it is increasing. Turn with me in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And notice verse 10. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself of our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and everyone else, just as ours does for you. Notice his prayer. May your love increase, and not just increase, but may your love overflow. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want you to notice verse 9 and 10. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we... I'm sorry, I'm in chapter 5. That's why you have no idea where I'm at. Chapter 4, verse 9. Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Notice, yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. So 1 year earlier, approximately, Paul is saying, look, I'm praying for you Thessalonians. I know you love each other, but I want you to love each other more and more. In fact, I want you to love each other abundantly. And then he writes this letter, approximately 1 year later, and what is he praising for them? He says, and love, the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. So he's praising them because the things that he had prayed for a year earlier, he now knows that it is happening. In fact, I want you to notice that word increasing. It is a word that means abundant. To be more than enough. To increase, to make abound, to be have love overflowing. To increase considerably, to become more, to multiply. So he says, look, your love is growing and it's increasing and it is abundant. And that's the very same thing I had prayed for. Jesus said that this world will know that we are Christians by our love for each other. So as we love each other, the world sees the love of Christ in us. And as we love each other, that encourages our relationship with God. And it encourages the service for God and for us to do the work of God. Love one another. You know, there's a tendency in life that as things get bad, we get selfish. You know, when we begin to struggle financially, the tendency is we don't give as much. When we begin to struggle in life, the tendency is that we look more inward than we look outward. As things get very difficult, we have a tendency to try to make sure that, you know, I do what I need to do for me and forget everybody else. Have you ever seen the United Nations? And they bring food to these countries where people are starving. And sometimes they drop them out of a helicopter in the spots where, you know, people have gathered. And sometimes you see people go up to that food and they're kind of beating each other up so that they can get the food for themselves. But these people are going through very severe trials. And one of the things Paul prays them for is that in spite of all that they're going through, their love is growing in abundance. That certainly is worthy of praise. So their faith, which is directed towards God, and their love, which is directed towards others, was growing in spite of severe trials. And Paul praised them for that. Then I want you to notice in verse 4, there's a third one. Therefore, because their faith is growing and their love is growing, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance in faith. In all your persecutions and trials, you are enduring, so we are boasting about these things. First word is the word perseverance. That's the same word we find in James 1, where the Bible says that God gives us all kinds of trials, many colored trials, so that we might bear up under them or so that we might persevere. It is a word that means that you're unwilling to quit. Endurance in spite of tough circumstances. You're unwilling to surrender. It's that stick-to-itiveness attitude that keeps fighting in spite of circumstances. And this word faith that is used really in context has the idea of faithfulness. They are in the middle of difficult circumstances. They are not quitting. And as they are not quitting, they're not just kind of staying there, but they are going through and being faithful to what God wants them to do. You know, sometimes we can be in a job, and at that job, it becomes very difficult, and we begin to hate that job, and we really want to get rid of that job, and we've really want to get out of there, but we haven't quit yet. But in all reality, we're kind of there, but we're really not there. We just haven't quit. Sometimes that's true in marriage. You know, sometimes in marriage, couples, their relationship grows apart. It's not right. It's wrong. But the relationship begins to grow apart. And they say, well, you know what? We haven't divorced. But in reality, they're just living in the same house, and really in relationship, they are divorced. Doesn't mean they ought to get a divorce. It just means they ought to learn how to have that biblical relationship God wants. Sometimes it could even be that way at church. You know, you haven't stopped going to church. You're still there, and you know, you pick up your Bible once in a while, but really your relationship with God is just cold. These people not only did not quit, but they were growing. They were remaining faithful to God. They were continuing to do the things that they needed to do. They persevered and they were faithful. Therefore, Paul says, look, that is worthy of praise. Not only worthy of praise, but I'm boasting about you to all the other churches. Now, I want you to notice the word in all. We boast about your perseverance and faith in all of the persecutions and trials you are enduring. As the idea that their persecutions and trials were numerous and they were continuing. You know, for some, when they face trials and persecutions, they their faith weakens. And that can happen for a couple of reasons. Sometimes it happens because their faith wasn't real to begin with. Jesus spoke of that, and it speaks of that in 1 John. You know, you have someone who professes faith in Christ, and then a whole bunch of problems comes their way, and what do? They run away from God. The reality was they never had faith to begin with. They were a professor, but really did not possess Christ. And sometimes it's just because your faith is weak. You know, God sends trials your way, and your faith is weak, so you stumble. And you got to learn not to stumble. You got to learn to pick yourself back up. You got to learn to have your faith grow. And that is exactly what's going on in the life of the Thessalonians. And they are winning that battle. They are enduring despite all kinds of difficulty. The trouble they had when the church was founded, it's still there. It's getting worse, but yet notice their faith is growing, their love is increasing, and they are continuing to persevere and be faithful to God. These are the things that we ought to look at other people and we ought to praise people for. These are the things we ought to praise our children for. These are the things that we ought to look at other Christians and look at their lives and be encouraged and thank God for when we see these things happening. So let me ask you this morning, are you growing in these areas? Is your faith growing? Is your love increasing? Are you persevering in spite of real difficult times? And are you still faithful to God? The longer sometimes Christians live, the longer they've been saved, sometimes their faithfulness to God goes right out the window when the very opposite should happen. Are you being faithful to God? And I wonder if the Apostle Paul came to our church and he saw our lives, if he would leave our church and go to all the other churches and boast about what's going on here. I hope he could. I hope he would. But he would only do that if he saw biblical lives here and he saw these kinds of things in our lives. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful for what we see going on in the lives of people in this church. For those that are going through discipleship and the hearts and the attitudes and the words and the actions that are being transformed. Father, we pray that may continue and that may expand. May this, Father, be always a church where Christians grow, where Christians seek to win others to Christ. I pray, Father, that this might be a church that always makes a difference in the lives of people, in the lives of families, in the lives of the workplace, because people from here go with that Christian heart. So, Father, do your work here. I pray, Lord, that that which you began at our salvation may continue, and that we might see many people becoming like Christ. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.